Okay, so my plan originally was next week, the next 2 weeks, to do something very special on Rosh Hashanah. And I was going to do Tanya till today, but we didn't end up doing the last few weeks. So starting a new chapter on Tanya won't work for one day. So we'll do something on Edel today, something a little bit different. We all need that. It's good. But next 2 weeks, you have to come rested because we're going to do a very deep Sicha, which the Rebbe said in 1988, just before Rosh Hashanah, when Rosh Hashanah also fell out on Shabbos, and he took a concept in Chassidus about Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah falling together, and took it to a whole nother level. It was like an amazing revelation. So we'll do that next week. Just hyping you up. Okay. So, this maimer the Rebbe said in Tafshin Lamed Hey, won't get through it, but we'll do part of it. It was said on Chai Elul, this coming Monday is Chai Elul, the 18th day of Elul, which of course in the Chabad Hasidic calendar is very, very significant, primarily because it's the birthday of the Baal Shem Tov and the Alter Rebbe. But also many things happen on Chai Elul. Also is the Yahrzeit of the Maharal, which a lot of Hasidus comes from the Maharal. And the Baal Shem Tov himself, actually, when he was 26, I think, a teacher revealed himself to him. Achia HaShiloini, one of the prophets, came to him and taught him, learned with him for 10 years. Not a bad chavrusa or teacher to have. And then until that time, the Baal Shem Tov remained a hidden tzaddik. People didn't know who he was. He didn't know his true greatness. And it was only Chai Elul when he was 36, 10 years after his teacher revealed himself to him, that he revealed himself and he started the Hasidic movement. Right? So it's quite significant. The previous Rebbe, I think it was, said that it also ties into the whole, Chai means life, right? Ties into the whole Elul concept, because there are 12 days from Chai Elul to Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, even though Elul in general is a time of cheshbon, where we reflect on the year gone by, when it comes to Chai Elul, we start a whole new process, which is a day for a month. In other words, each day of the last 12 days from Chai Elul onwards corresponds back to another month. So Chai Elul itself corresponds to the previous Tishrei, or the next day is cheshbon, and so on. So, okay. The Rebbe said this maimer, and this maimer is based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, which is interesting because what the Rebbe does with this pasuk is he takes it, based on other Hasidus, but he takes it, it's normally said, this pasuk is normally quoted in a specific context, but he broadens the context and it makes it very connected to Elul as well. Let's see. So the pasuk reads like this, Mashcheini Acharecha Narusa. You know, Shir HaShirim is the love story between God and the Jewish people, and it's always hard to understand. Know exactly who's talking. It's either us or God, right? So that's why it works. But this is a possible, the way it understands over here is that the Jewish people are talking to Hashem. And they say the following, Moshcheini, draw me, like bring me closer, draw me. Acharecha norutza, then we will run after you. And the third thing is, Heviani hamelech chadorov, the king has brought me into his inner chamber. We will rejoice and be happy with you. That's what we say to Hashem. So the first part of the pasuk has three stages. Draw me close. We will run after you. And the king has brought me to his inner chambers. Those are the three things. Now, says the Rebbe the following. In a pasuk there, this pasuk, who inyan klali, is actually a general concept. Shemeta'er es klolus inyan avoidas habodam luboire. This actually is a pasuk which describes the general concept of how a person should serve Hashem or can serve Hashem. How so? Shascholo bazeh, the beginning, he be'ofen shal isarusa dila'ela. The way a person starts serving Hashem generally, I guess starts serving Hashem at the beginning of his life or the beginning of every year or the beginning of every experience really, right? Or at the beginning of every stage of growth, let's say, right? The way it works is we receive an awakening from above. Hashem gives us injection. He gives us, like, he wakes us up a little bit, right? Which is the idea of Moshcheini. Draw me close. We're asking Hashem, draw me close. Stop me off. Yeah? V'yachar kachan, after that, Bo avoida sa'adam. Then the avoid of the person comes. Then we have to start working. Which is, acharecho norutza. We will run after you. And after this, bo'im lehashleimus, we come to the perfection of the bond between us and Hashem, which is once we do the work, then hevi ani hamelech hadorov, that the king has brought me into his inner chamber, which means it's the ultimate bond and relationship between us and Hashem. Right? Shezeu bedugmas, that last thing is what the Zohar says. It's like an expression of the Zohar. It's when we come to the concept of Yisrael umalko bilchoidohi, where the Yid and Hashem are one. They're just together as one. Okay. Now, moving, Gami Peresha Ben Azokain. This can also be understood from what the Alter Rebbe explains, and he puts in brackets, Shechai Elul Yoyim Lelishaloi. So he's quoting a teaching from the Alter Rebbe and emphasizing that Chai Elul is his birthday. The Alter Rebbe explained this in the Kutei Torah. And this is interesting, because the way we're going to explain it now is the way it's always explained. It's the Rebbe in this Maimon that expands it further. But the way it's explained, really, this pasuk is a pasuk specifically to do with Pesach, which is kind of the wrong time of the year, right? But we'll see why this is relevant to Elul as well. Yeah? It's Pesach. What's Pesach? Shemoshcheini, when we say Hashem, draw me, Isarusa the Elul, which is a complete awakening from above, Koi Ali Yitzias Mitzrayim, Shemoshcheg Pesach, that refers to Yitzias Mitzrayim, going out of Mitzrayim on Pesach. We've talked about this many times, that the Yidden didn't work for Yitzias Mitzrayim, they didn't earn Yitzias Mitzrayim, they just were given Yitzias Mitzrayim, right? They were given the Exodus, they were schlepped out. In fact, they were in the 49th level of Tumah. It was all canceled as if it disappeared completely. And it just, boom, schlepped out, right? Ula acharazeh. And after that, we have the Omer. What's the Omer? Bespiras Omer is avoida samata. Then we have to start doing a bit of work, which is acharecho narutza. We run after Hashem. Because it's not good to, it won't be sustainable. It's only coming as a result of the awakening from Hashem. And take note that Norutza, we will run, is Lashon Rabim. See, the pasuk starts off, draw me close, singular. Not draw us, draw me. And then when it comes to us doing the work, we say, we will run. Why? Huh? That's why. Because when Hashem took Aram Mitzrayim, normally, and he sarusid the le'el, an awakening from above, only talks to the part of us that is ready for that. Because we haven't done the work. What part of us is ready for it? The Nefesh Elokis, the godly soul, right? In fact, when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, it says, Ki barach ha'om, they ran away. They rushed. They were in a tremendous rush. They ran away from Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Chassidus explains, they ran away because the bad was still there in Mitzrayim, but also within ourselves. We had to run away from the bad. We had to just work on Anashama first, right? It's Anashama that left Mitzrayim, really, not so much Nefesh Abamis, right? And Nefesh HaBamis, the animal soul, remain pretty much unchanged, which is what normally happens when we have an awakening from above. And we inspire, right? We can all inspire. Tonight I'm going to be at Sadeh. I'm going to go to 10 extra shiurim. Who's talking? The Nefesh HaLakis, the godly soul. We haven't changed, essentially, our animal soul, right? That's why it disappears after a while, because the animal soul makes a comeback. What happens is, when you get all of a sudden inspired, you anesthetize your animal soul for a few minutes. Right? But if you don't do the work with the animal soul, then next day it makes a comeback and fights the fight and overpowers the Nefesh HaLakis once again, as it normally does, as it often does. And therefore we're back to normal, right? So that doesn't work. So what has to happen is we have to start doing the work ourselves. When we start doing the work ourselves, acharecho norutza, after you, we will run. Meaning the Nefesh HaLakis and the Nefesh HaBamis, which we know, that's why the Sfiras HaOmer is all about the Nefesh HaBamis. That's why it starts off with the Omer, which was a korban that came from Bali, which Bali, we know, in Gemara times, was an animal food, right? Change means refined, subjugate itself, come under the dominion of the Nefesh HaLakis, something, right? We learned also last time in Tanya that there's a dent, even the Bainli, there's some dent, right? You got to refine yourself, too. That's why you have to daven. In other words, you got to bring the Nefesh HaLakis on board. It doesn't change essentially. But at least its behavior changes, at least its arrogance changes, at least its dominance changes. Right?
Is that a change
in Nefesh HaBamis
or
Nefesh HaBamis? No, it's a change in Nefesh HaBamis also, because the Nefesh HaLakis is guiding the process, but it brings the Nefesh HaBamis to a point, it refines at least the expression, the garments at least, of the Nefesh HaBamis. That person's more refined and talks nicer to people and is more humble and talks nice to Hashem, etc., right? Yeah, to some degree, it's now it doesn't mean it changes it forever. It's a benini still, so every day is a new struggle, and so on. But it makes a dent in it. It's more sustainable. It lasts longer. Yeah, yeah. That's why he says they're about splintering the wood, because he says what happens to the person davening is just not getting through the Nefesh HaBamis at all. So you've got to bash up the Nefesh HaBamis, you've got to splinter it. That changed the Nefesh HaBamis. Does it essentially change the Nefesh HaBamis? No. Babayini, it never happens. The essential temptations are always there, which is why that keeps making it come back. That's why it's a continuous avoider. It's continuous. In fact, the word avoider, which means to work, in Chassidus explains, comes from the word. You know, so how Hebrew works, so beautiful. Like, there's so many different translations, right? Ibud oiris, when you tan, you know, one of the melachos of Shabbos, you're not allowed to tan leather. What does tan leather mean? How would they tan leather? You take a skin of an animal, it's rough, it's hard, it's unusable.
Right?
So you got to kvetch it and soften it. And that's what avoida means. When we daven, our davening, sometimes the Chassidus refer to as davening with avoida, which means serving Hashem. It means like kvetching an Nefesh HaBamis, like beating it into submission a little bit, making it soft a little bit. Does it change? No, it's still the skin of an animal. But it certainly makes a difference. And it makes it then possible for the inspiration that comes only from Hashem to last, because we're bringing the Nefesh HaBamis along. That's what davening is all about, right? Torah really only affects Nefesh HaLakis. Davening is supposed to be the Nefesh HaBamis. That's why B'chol Levavcha, it's a void of the heart, which is an emotional void, which is davening. That's why in davening we talk about angels, because our Nefesh HaBamis, they're also angels, they're also animals, they're just good animals. The malachim, holy animals, Chayas HaKodesh, right? But we talk to our Nefesh HaBamis and say, listen, you've got this within you also, you could serve Hashem. Because your origin, your root, you evolved from the supernal animals, which is the malachim, that's how we talk about angels in davening, right? Okay. No. I mean, their Nefesh HaBamis is like, whoa, like it's holy, it's different. They're godly, of course, they're very godly. Yeah, only a Yid is Nefesh HaLakis. Yes, that's the point. That's the greatness of a Yid, the person in general, but a Yid specifically, over a Malach. Only a Yid could grow, only a Yid is infinite, only a Yid can really change. A Malach can't change. Malach is perfect, but it's only perfect the way it's with this, in its personality. So Malach Michal is Chesed, but it's only Chesed, and it's going to always be Chesed. Of course not. On the one hand, outwardly, behaviorally, in a revealed way, they're infinitely higher than us. You're asking the question, I'll explain to you a beautiful thing. You know, in davening, when there's a repetition of the Amidah, we say Kedusha. Mm-hmm. Have you ever realized what that is? Okay, so let me tell you, right? So essentially, Kedusha, I mean, there's a couple extra paragraphs we add in on Shabbos, but the essential response of Kedusha is three psukim. Kadosh, 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 Hashem, etc. Baruch, Kod Hashem, Im Koyma, and then Yimloch, right? The first two particularly, I think Yimloch as well. What actually are they, these psukim? Sanctifying Hashem, glorifying Hashem, praising Hashem. Where did it come from? It comes from Tanakh, when the Nevi'im, the prophets, were able to witness the celestial chariots and the upper beams, right? It was what the Malachim say. It's how the Malachim praise Hashem. Yeah. Right? However, and we do that the same, so we copy the Malachim. But it's brought down in Chassidus, the way it works, it says it. Kanoyam siach soit sarfei kodesh. The introduction says, we talk about the animals, the holy animals. That's what they say, and we say as well. The reason why we say it is like this, it's a partnership. Why do we quote the Malachim? Because we need the Malachim to bring other holiness with us, right? They have a holiness that we don't have, obviously, a conscious holiness, right? But they need us also. They wait for us to say Kaddish. They become elevated when we say Kedusha. Because there's an aspect that we have the Malachim don't have. When a Yid says Kedusha, we elevate the Malachim. They give us the power to say it, but we elevate them when we say it. So it's a partnership. If you look in the words, you'll see there's a reference to Malachim there. If I'll show it to you, let me just...
This is not in the verses preceding the Shema. This is in the Kedusha.
Both. We say it... I'll read it to you. It's very beautiful. Doesn't matter if you don't get to the main point. It's okay. We'll only consider this. That's the main thing. We'll get to the point, or some point at least. So the first time we do this is in our own davening, even we daven with ourselves before Shema. It's like a very strange part of Tefillah. We like talk about angels and like all kinds of angels. Sorry? Yeah. Here we are. So we talk about God who creates the ministering angels, and a ministering angel all stand in the heights of the universe and proclaim in awe, aloud in unison, the words of the living God, the sovereign of the universe. And then we say they're all beloved, they're all holy, they're all this, that. And then the first one goes like this. They glorify and revere, hallow and ascribe sovereignty to the name of God, the great, powerful, awe-inspiring King. Holy is He. They all take upon themselves the yoke of heavenly kingship. It's a beautiful description of what's going on in heaven, right? One from the other, and they love and with love grant permission to each other to sanctify their Maker with joyous spirit, with pure speech, with sacred melody, all exclaiming in unison with awe and declaring reverence. Kadosh, 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 right? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the whole earth which is full of His glory. Okay. Then it says the Ofanim, because this actually is a description of higher angels. These are the seraphim we're talking about. It doesn't say it openly here, but later says it. So what we just described is how the seraphim do it. Then the Ofanim, which are lower angels, they want to do it too. So the Ofanim and the Holy Chayot, these are two lower levels of angels, with a mighty sound, rides towards the seraphim, because now they've learned from the seraphim, facing them and offer praise. They also offer praise and they say, Baruch Kvod Hashem Imkomo. Right? So that's the first Kedusha. And then we do it again in the repetition of the Shemesh. But look what we say. Say like, with this Ashkenaz or Sfar, it's a different sentence, but same content. When we respond Kedusha, we start off with Nakadishach. What happened to the... Where's the... Doesn't the Siddur have the English here just as a transliteration? It must be. Hold on. Maybe to the back. Not really strange. Oh. No. I want to get the exact translation if I can for you. No, I don't know where the translation is. They're trying to put the transliteration here. But we say, Nakdishach, let us make you holy, let us glorify you. Kenoam siach sod, like the pleasantness of the secret speech, Sarfei Kodesh, the holy seraphim. Hamashalshim l'chakdusha, who draw down for you also the holiness, like it says, l'kakatuv al yadim v'yecha, like it says in the words of the prophets. V'kara ze'el ze, and they turn to each other, v'amar, and they say, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. And that's what we say. That's how Kedusha works, right? Okay. So a lot of stuff with angels, but they don't, but we are higher than angels.
So just recap the angel thing, please. They don't have a godly soul.
Yeah, and also they're animals. What does it mean animals? That means the dominant feature in an animal is emotion. Right. Which is why they don't have free choice. You see, only us we have free choice because we've got seichel, right? And the dominant insight, the dominant force of the Nefesh HaLakis even. In fact, particularly the Nefesh HaLakis is understanding, which gives us, that's why the brain can rule the heart, right? Now, so therefore an animal is emotional, is impulsive. It just happens to be that their impulsivity and their emotions are completely godly.
Which is why we invoke them.
Yeah, because they are animals, which means they're emotional beings, who don't change, right? Mm-hmm. But what kind of beings are they? The consciousness of a cow is the hay that he's about to eat, right? The consciousness of a malach is God, loving God, fearing God, praising God, different personalities, different malachim, right? So that's why we evoke them. Now, the animal soul is an evolution of an angel. Just how it lands up in this world, it's an animal, not an angel. Which is why it's important to talk about the angels in davening, to bring the animal soul along. So you say you have it in you. Actually, that's your original source. You could come under the dominance of the godly soul because you come from holy animals, but still an animal.
So can we take a little diversion?
Yeah.
So we've got Michael, Gabriel.
Raphael.
What are the specific?
So Michael is Chesed, Gabriel is Gvura.
Okay.
And it's not just Michael and Gabriel, it's a camp. But then there's Uziel and Raphael and all different ones.
In our time, we're saying four, so why do I need those four?
Are we four? Because I think, what siddur do you use? We don't say the four.
Well,
Has it. We don't actually say that. But we say it in Yom Kippur, Mincha. Yom Kippur, we say it.
Uriel behind you.
Uriel
in front of me and Raphael.
It's got to do with Chesed, Guru, Tiferes, Netzach, Yisod. I don't know exactly. It's got to do with some of the Sfirot. I'm not sure exactly. Okay. So, back to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So God takes us out of Mitzrayim. He awakens us. He schleps us out. But that's only to the Nefesh HaLakis. That's only the godly soul. Omer is when we start working on the animal, which is Nefesh HaBamis, right? And it's plural. Achrecha Narutza, we will run after you. Nefesh HaLakis and Nefesh HaBamis. Afalpi, even though Shalachatchil at the beginning, there was the Inyan of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We had Yitzias Mitzrayim, but Oifan the Chibar HaCha'om, we had to run away from the animal. Couldn't bring the animal along because the animal didn't change. We had to run away from it. But then, why? Kivin shisarusa de la'eloh, because the awakening from above, the mashcheni, draw me, hoysel nefesh alakis, was only nefesh alakis. Well, achrazen, after that, and then it becomes narutza, we will run, because we have both. And then we get to the point of matan Torah. Well, achrazen, hevi ani hamelech hadorov, the king brings me to his chambers, which is the Matan Torah. But the Matan Torah became the complete bond. Once we get our animal soul on board, then we can come to the complete bond with Hashem, because that's what Hashem wants. Hashem wants the whole of us. She'az boim b'nei Yisrael b'chadorav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then the Yid comes to the inner chamber of Hashem, which is the union of Torah, shu yachad im HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what Matan Torah is all about, because what is Torah? Torah is one with Hashem, as we know. We learned in Tanya. She'ra Torah hi chachmosai retsoina. Torah is the wisdom and the will of Hashem. And through that, Na'asim Yisrael, Oiraisa, the Kutcha Brichu, Kulacha, that's why the Yidden become one with the Torah, and the Torah is one with Hashem, so that's how we become one with Hashem. But you have to refine your Nefesh HaBamis first, because just to learn Torah with your Nefesh HaLakis, that's good, but that doesn't make you one with Hashem, that should make your Nefesh HaLakis one with Hashem. But you have to become one with Hashem, so that's it. Okay, now, turn over the page. So he says like this. Omnom ever. This is a bit of an interesting innovation. We don't normally find this so much in Chassidus, because normally we talk about Elul completely different, but the Rebbe explains it many ways in different places. He says like this. Omnom kiven shebetoira yeshnein yon. Since in Torah we have two prominent stages of serving Hashem. Kfi shekshura im Yitzias Mitzrayim. One is how it's connected with Yitzias Mitzrayim, the going out of Egypt, which is why we say all the time, mitzvah say, Zeichel Yitzias Mitzrayim, and so on and so forth, right? Ooh, and the second thing is, Kefi Shekshura im Avodas Chodesh Tishrei. Our relationship with Hashem is not only Yitzias Mitzrayim. Our relationship with Hashem is also the month of Tishrei, right? Kamayim Razal, Chazal tell us, Shviyoyim Chasunose, when it says in Shir HaShirim, it refers to the wedding day of Hashem, Ze Matan Torah, it's talking about Matan Torah, but actually it's not even talking about Matan Torah. It's talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is, I don't feel this, Yom Kippur is also like a Matan Torah. Because Yom Kippur is when we're given the second luchas, the second tablets. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's called the marriage of Hashem. Yom Kippurim, Shaboy Nitnu Luchas Achreiras, where the second tablets were given to us. So if that's true, in other words, both processes actually arrive at Torah. It's interesting, right? We don't always look at it like that. Pesach culminates in Matan Torah. Elul Tishrei culminates in Matan Torah. Yom Kippur, and then it comes out even more in Simchas Torah, which is again Torah, all about Torah. That's how we connect with Hashem. That's our bond with Hashem, right? I mean, even though that Tshuva and Shmini Atzeret, Simchas Torah really represent a level where our relationship with Hashem is even higher than Torah, but it can only be revealed through Torah. That's for another talk, but okay, yeah? Therefore, he says, our removal is understood, sheyeshnoi gama pirush pepasuk. You also have to do the pasuk. You also have to apply the pasuk, Mashcheini acharecha narutza. Draw me and I will run after you. Hevi ani hamelech hadorav. The king has brought me to his chambers. Pirush kifi shu mitzad avodil chodesh tishrei. It's got to apply to Tishrei as well. Right? Which is interesting, because actually we normally say Elul Tishrei is the other way around. Right? So we know there's two psukim in Shir HaShirim, right? One pasuk says, which is the acronym of Elul, Ani ledoidi vedoidi li. I am to my beloved is to me, which the first letters make Elul, right? The last letters, four yuds, makes Elul and the 10 days of Tshuva, 40 days, right? Why? Because the way Elul works is, I've got to start the process. It's about Shuvah. Shuvah is you got to do the work. Hashem doesn't do the work for you. You got to do the work. Right? And then he responds. That's what Elul is. Elul is we do Shuvah and Hashem responds. There's another pasuk in Shir HaShirim which says the other way around. It says, Doidi loy va'ani loy. Doidi li va'ani loy. My beloved is to me and I am to him. And Chassidus says, what's that pasuk referring to? The month of Nisan. Pesach. Pesach, we weren't doing any work. Hashem just did it all for us. And then we had to start working. Okay, but the main job was done by Hashem, right? So how can we say, and in Nisan, the phrase, the pasuk we just learned, the three stages, draw me, we will run after you, bring me to your chambers, that makes sense with Pesach. It doesn't make so much sense with Elul. Are you with me? You look confused, you okay? Yeah. So what does it mean? So I'm going to veer from the Maimer actually and just explain it a different way. I mean, the Maimer sort of says this also, but it's the same idea, but I want to bring this up the way, that, because there's something that was talked about a lot by the Rebbe. Of course, Elul is different. Elul is we've got to do the work, but it still needs a boost, it still needs a kickstart from Hashem. Just it comes in a different way. So this is something that Rebbe talks about a lot, that it talks about in the Maimer. In fact, a very interesting thing. It's talked about in a particular talk that the Rebbe gave. It just shows how the Rebbe learns things. It's very interesting. Where the Rebbe quoted a sikha of the previous Rebbe. There's a famous sikha of the previous Rebbe where he describes Lubavitch. He describes the city of Lubavitch. I don't know if I ever read it to you. I should have, actually. I like to read it myself every Elul just to inspire me again. The Friedrich Rebbe talks about his memories of Elul in Lubavitch, in the city of Lubavitch I'm talking about. Beautiful. First of all, the previous Rebbe was an unbelievable writer. And second of all, so he says like this. He says some things like, no, so really it's a sikha where he goes to a number of things. He talks about how matzahs were baked in Lubavitch, how Lag BaOmer happened in Lubavitch. And one of the things he talks about Elul, right? And he says that from Shabbos Mevorachim Elul, you could already feel the tshuva wind. And the mamorim, the Hasidic discourses that the Rebbe, his father would say, already changed. There was a bit of an urgency. There was really about tshuva. The whole thing changed. The atmosphere changes. And he says there was a sense of, it's beautiful. He says, even though it was a sun shining day, but nevertheless, the Elul winds were already breaking through because it goes in the winter. Right? And there became an urgency in the air. I'm just remembering some of the things. And he talks about, he was a little child. He talks about how you get up. He wakes up in the morning and he says, I hear the sounds of the shofar coming from different shtiblach, different shuls. And then you think to yourself, oi, it's Elul, why did I wake up so late? So he says, you get up, you run to the mikveh, as Hasidim do, men Hasidim go to mikveh every day before davening, and you see people coming and they've got a sense of urgency on their face, and they're a bit more, there's a bigger urgency in their step. And then he says, you walk into a shul and you see people davening slower, and perhaps at different paces, and this one's holding by this part of the... It's the most phenomenal, beautiful description. You get the Elul vibe when you read it. Okay. And then, so the Rebbe brought the sikh, and then the Rebbe asked the question. By the Rebbe, this is a very typical question. By the Rebbe, everything in Torah, by Tzaddikim particularly, is unbelievably exact. So the Rebbe asked the question, when was the sikh said? When did the previous Rebbe say the sikh? He didn't say it on Elul. He said the sikh on Pesach. It was a Pesach sikha. On the surface, so it's Pesach, so what? He happened to be talking about memories of Lubavitch, right? Okay, fine, what's the difference when it was? The Rebbe says, no. There's a reason. If it was said on Pesach, there's a reason. It's talking about Elul, there's a reason it's said on Pesach. What's the concept? The concept is, says the Rebbe like this, Pesach's main theme is the awakening from above. That is the theme. Elul's theme is not like that, true. But in order to teach us that even in Elul, right? Even in Elul, the avoida has to be yours. But where do you get the koyach? I mean, you're stuck in your mud from the whole year. Like, how do we suddenly start doing our own avoida? Like, how do we do that? Well, just one day we decide we're going to start working with ourselves. We're going to do tshuva. We're going to start improving. How does that work? And we haven't done the work the whole year, apparently. So therefore, suddenly we're going to start doing it now? Or at least upgrade it now? Where does that koyach come from? So there must be some sort of awakening from above, a different kind, which is kickstarting the process. So the question is, if it's awakened from above, so what makes it Elul then? The whole point of Elul is that we're doing the work, correct? So the Rebbe, another place, explains like this. This goes to the heart of the mushal, the analogy that the Alter Rebbe gives about the king in the field. So we know, all know the famous maimer where the we talked about this before, where the Alter Rebbe says that Elul is like a king in the field, right? And he says that, by the way, it's a mushal that it's like 4 or 5 lines, the mushal, and the amount of Torah the Rebbe has said on that mushal is like, oh, you can write a book of it. But dissecting every single word of that mushal and explaining the most deepest and fascinating things. One of the things is the following. Because the Alter Rebbe starts off there, the mushal, he asks a question. He says, it's known that in Elul, Hashem's 13 attributes of mercy, the Yud Gimel Midas Rachamim, and Hashem, Kel Rachamim, V'chanan, shines. It's a special month, right? It's a month where Hashem's 13 special attributes of mercy shines, or is there, or is accessible. He says, the question is, so then why on the days of Yom Tov? We know Yom Tov is a day where Hashem's 13 Midas Rachamim shine, especially Yom Kippur, which is why it's a fast day. We dress up and everything, right? The whole thing. Rosh Hashanah, all Yomim Tovim. You know, in every Yom Tov, you look at a machzor and they open up the Aron Kodesh to take out the Torah, they sing Hashem, Hashem, Ker Racham Lachan. Right? Elul is, we don't do that. Elul is just a regular day, weekday. How can it be? How can it be a regular weekday if there's a revelation of Hashem's 13 principles? And on that, and also, why do we say Tachnun? Tachnun is something you say every day if it's not a Yom Tov. If it's Shabbos, Yom Tov, or a special day, Purim, Tu Bishvat, whatever, you know, we don't say Tachnu, it's a holy day. So Elul is so special, why do we say Tachnu a whole month, right? And on that, the Alter Rebbe gives the mashal of the king in the field. Says the Rebbe, how does it answer the question? The Alter Rebbe doesn't explain how the mashal answers the question. The Rebbe says very quick, because the king in the field is a paradox. It's a paradox. The king in the field means he comes to the field. He's not in his palace. He's not with his whole entourage. You don't need security to get in. You don't need to dress up to get in. He comes to the common folk. He comes to stroll around the field, right? Which makes him, during Elul, incredibly accessible. Incredibly accessible. Yeah? But also, almost unnoticeable.
Sorry,
unnoticeable. Right? In other words, he's like a regular guy. He's not even with his guards. He's strolling in the field. If you're a busy farmer, you could actually miss him. Right? And this is one of the 100 things that the Rebbe talks about, this mashal, but it's a mashal that explains everything. First we have to understand the paradox here. He's unbelievably accessible, but very unnoticeable. And he's not going to approach you. You have to approach him. He'll take you on right away. He'll talk to you. If you approach him, he'll talk to you. But you have to approach him. And that puts together the whole thing over here. So that's why we say Tachnun, because it's a regular weekday. The king comes to the regular weekday. It's not a Yom Tov. Right? But it's amazing. It's the king himself. I mean, he's around. He's accessible, you know? So therefore, it's like this. When Hashem revealed himself and took us out of Mitzrayim, that was a full-blown awakening from above. That's the only thing that could have happened, because if he would have come in an unnoticed way, we would never notice him. So everything was done by him, but he came with fully his glory. Even we say this in our God, B'chvoido v'atzmei, came with his whole, everything. Right? And he schlepped us out. Elul also must start with Mashcheini. Hashem has to draw us close, but it's a totally different drawing of the close. He makes it available, but he says, you have to do the work. It's an amazing way to explain this. So it's what the Rebbe calls an asinas koyach. It's a awakening from above, but a hidden awakening from above. There must be that thing. We have to have something to start off. So how do we start off? By the knowledge that it's a different month. By the knowledge that the king is in the field. But he's not going to do the work for you. I always say to people when I explain this, it says the king is in the field, he's not in your bedroom. If you don't get out of bed and go see him, he's not going to talk to you. Right? But knowing that he's right outside in our backyard, that's unbelievable.
He also told us about being in the desert.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So we'll get that in a minute, because that's also part of the mashal, right? Yeah. Because it's connected to the next thing I'm going to say. So therefore, the Rebbe says that this process of mashcheni also works. So Elul is acharecho norutzo, we're running after Hashem. Nefesh alakis and nefesh abamis. But it's not coming primarily from awakening from above. But it is coming from a sort of awakening from above. Which is why the previous Rebbe said the story about Lubavitch and Elul on Pesach. The teacher said, even Elul, which is always, we talk about, not an awakening from above. It's only, we've got to do the avoida, we have to start. But it still needs a Pesach aspect. It still needs awakening from above, which is why I said the Sikh on Pesach to teach us that concept. That's what the Rebbe explains. Amazing thing, right? Now, the Rebbe says like this. This comes, you have to go on a little bit. You go to page 4. He says something else, which I think, according to what just explains, helps us understand it also. He says that even though there's a mashcheni, Hashem is drawing us close in Elul also, which we know is evident by the king in the field of that, but it also works very differently. So he brings an unbelievable medrash on this pasuk. Let me see, we just let a little bit inside, right? Yeah, have a look at the beginning. The Hinei says, "Apirush b'pasuk mashcheni." The explanation of this pasuk mashcheni: "Heavy ani amelech hador, the king bringing me to his chambers, which is Yom Kippur and some other kfiyush nagel avodish chayes tishrei." How this works in the month of Tishrei? Masim mashakosiv b'medrash. This works the way it says in a medrash. Skip the brackets. Al pasuk mashcheni. On this pasuk of mashcheni, bring me close. Excuse me. Shoshamu huvu kamo pirushim b'pasuk. Over there, it brings many interpretations of this pasuk. Umehem, two of these interpretations work like this. One interpretation is, Moshcheini, draw me close. What does that mean? Says the Medrash, Al Shem Shehishreisa Shkinasta Besecheinu. It's because, why is Hashem drawing me close? Because He brought His Shkina to rest with us. He revealed His Shkina, right? Well, after then, after that, maybe Hapirush, the Medrash has a different translation. How does Hashem draw me close? Koi al shesilakto shkinasu metecheinu. The fact that you took the shkin away from us. What does that mean? Both things can actually cause us to come close. Pesach, Hashem revealed the shkinah, so we came close. Right? Only nefesh alakis, we didn't do any other work. And it took a long time till we started working on the Nefesh HaBamis, right? We had to go through all Pesach and start the Omer and the whole story. Elul is different. Elul Aviyah, the Rebbe says, it's because Hashem has taken away Shekhinah from us. What does that mean? So I think what it means is, he's connecting with what the Alter Rebbe explains. And it goes back to the desert. Because the Alter Rebbe explains there in the second part of the Maimer that there's three kinds of areas. There's the city where the king lives, there's the field, and there's the desert. A desert symbolizes a spiritually barren place, right? There's different ways to explain this, but this is what has explained most places, that when we comes Elul, and we know the king is in the field, and we have a bit of a think to it, what do we come to the conclusion? Not that Hashem has revealed the Shekhinah, but that, oy vey, I'm in the desert. The king is in the field, but I'm actually not there, I'm in the desert. The king doesn't come to the desert. The desert, no one lives in the desert. The desert is empty. The desert refers to all the wrong things and all the klippah and all the negative things that we might have been involved with, right? So what's this? So what does it help me? The king's in the field. Here's how it works. Normally, the king's in the city. What's the city mean? The city is a place of holiness. Palace, the holiness, the king himself, right? Okay, not everyone can get there. You have to be on the level to be able to get in there. You have to pass security. You have to get a security clearance, all that kind of stuff, right? Elul, he says, no, it doesn't have to be the city. It can just be a regular, mundane place. So he comes to the city, but he doesn't come to the desert, right? But he's very accessible, provided you decide you have to get out of the desert, right? So in other words, what pushes us, what draws us closer to Hashem and Elul really is not his revelation. It's the awareness that we've actually become distant from Hashem. Comes to Elul, we think, oh, king's in the field, where am I? Well, you're starting a cheshbon, what do you realize? I'm in the desert. But the king's so close. He's like right there I don't have to go to the city. He's right in the field. Field's right next to the desert. So what happens? It ignites a yearning, which is what tshuva is. Tshuva is a yearning that comes from distance.
Meaning he took the opposite of present.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. So they both come from the pasuk Mashcheni. We ask Hashem, draw me close, right? Make it possible to come close to you. But how does it become possible to come close to you? In Mitzrayim, in Pesach, full blown revelation. So come, love me. I'm hugging you. Hug me back. Tishrei also works with the power from above. Hashem needs to make it available to me, but the mechanism is different. The mechanism is he places himself very accessible to make us become aware that we are far from Hashem, not close to Hashem. And that distance from Hashem ignites,
it's
a spark that makes us yearn to come closer. You understand? That yearning doesn't exist in Pesach time. It doesn't exist in Pesach.
No, you have to experience Pesach to know.
Correct. So Pesach, Hashem just parked himself in front of us and we won with him. Finish, okay. There's no yearning. So he drew us close, but he drew us close with no work on our own. He is drawing us close. He's becoming very accessible. It's a background. It's a very in the background type of kickstart. And the mechanism works that he draws us close by making us aware of where we should be, where we are, and where we could be. We could be talking to the king, but I'm in the desert. I'm far away. And the tshuva, Chassidus says tshuva comes from a yearning. Which why tshuva is a greater connection to Hashem. Because the connection to Hashem that comes from a very deep yearning is greater than a connection that comes from closeness. Closeness. Yearning is good. Now, by the way, it sounds like everyone has to come to the conclusion that Elul, they're full of garbage and they're in the desert. Okay, so the truth is we are, everyone has some desert aspects to them, right? But this yearning is true for everyone, because closeness to Hashem is relative, number one. And number two, the Rebbe explains, this is why tshuva is not for, the Alter Rebbe already says this in the Maimer. By the way, tshuva is not just for Averis. There are people that don't do Averis, present company excluded. But I mean myself as well, we all do Averis, right? But yearning can come from just the very fact that we not one with Hashem. We're far from Hashem. Distance. We have a distance. And every human being actually has a distance. Even if you didn't do Averis. The very fact that the neshama finds itself in a goof, in a body, which is full of klipa and sitra achra, and it's a world which is completely dark and concealed, that means we're distant from Hashem. And Elul is the time to realize that and to say, I want to yearn to become close to Hashem. That's what tshuva is. That tshuva applies to on every level. But it's a closeness which comes from a yearning, and the yearning achieves much more than a closeness, which is why the Gemara says that a Baal Tshuva is greater than a Tzaddik. He's not holier than a Tzaddik. A Tzaddik is holier, but he's great. I mean, there's a certain depth of a Baal Tshuva, because a Tzaddik is close to Hashem from the beginning. He always does things right. But even a Tzaddik has to come to the Tshuva by the realization there's a distance even by a Tzaddik. But a Tzaddik generally is a person who's close. A Baal Tshuva is someone who knows that he's far, and that far brings him to such a yearning, because he's in the desert and he wants to talk to the king. What sparked this yearning? Because he knows the king's right there. But it's not a revelation. It's actually the opposite of revelation. It's a mechanism where the king becomes so accessible, but unnoticeable, not revealed. And that sparks a feeling of distance, not closeness, which sparks in turn an unbelievable yearning, which is the Moshcheni of Elul. And the Rebbe says, and that's why it makes the Norut so much stronger. The Narutza means that we get our Nefesh HaBamis on board very quickly. Because boy, we don't want to be distant. Right? So we're going to work the Nefesh HaBamis real quick. And work a whole month in it. And then eventually we come to the king's chambers and become one with Hashem, even on a deeper level than Matan Torah. Matan Torah, don't forget also, although it came after the work and the Omer, but it was still coming in the back of this whole job that Hashem did, not really us. Elul is just the distance, therefore we have to do all the running and we have to do all the work. Yes, that's a Pesach aspect. Moshcheini, Hashem made it available. He's accessible, not available, but I mean, he's available, but not so. What did I say before? He's accessible, but not noticeable. That's right, right? And therefore we have to do all the work and we do the work and we yearn. And that's when we come to the ultimate bond of Shemini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, Yom Kippur, Bein Ilah. That's much deeper even than Matan Torah. All right. Next week, Yontif, that falls on Shabbos. Be a 2-week series. I think. Maybe not, I'll do it next week and then do Yom Kippur.